Thanks for joining us today here on the Guy James Show. Thanks to Billy Sears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you later, gang.
The Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine, America's greatest former congressional attorney, will start momentarily. Please stand by. The Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine will begin momentarily. Please stand by.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It is a glorious day in Washington, D.C. Really, really, a glorious day. I'm in a good mood. You heard it. Guess what? This may be hard to believe, but I am proud of the Democratic Party today. No. I they haven't, you know, given me the happy juice. I am. We achieved three amazing results today. Four if you count the Republican walkout. Washington is all a flutter. Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party are finally standing up to the President of the United States. It's glorious. Everything from Congress passing a ban on torture, making John McCain flip-flop. Oh, first he was against torture, then he was for torture. Number two, standing firm on no unconstitutional surveillance. I'm going to give you all the details of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. But the amazing thing is, George Bush said to Nancy Pelosi, to the House Democrats, if you don't do this exactly my way, if you don't allow me immunity to violate the Constitution at will, the terrorists are going to get you. The boogeyman's going to get you. They're going to attack you. And Pelosi and the Democrats didn't blink. They said, bring it on. There's no real threat to our security. We're going on vacation. They said, shut up, George Bush. Give us 21 days. We'll work on it. But you're going to fit into our time schedule. We're in control here. I will give you all the details. Also, most important, more important than all of this stuff, today, for the first time, the Democrats in Congress held up their responsibilities under Article 1 of the Constitution. They are holding Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton in contempt. In contempt. What does this mean? And we'll, again, I'll give you all the details in the hour. But the headlines are, what that means is that because they refuse to talk, and listen, we all know it's not Harriet Myers, Josh Bolton, it's the Bush administration. It's Cheney. They want to cover up for the firing of the prosecutors. They want to cover up for all the political ways they use the Justice Department. They told Harriet Myers, don't cooperate with the House. Now, the House Judiciary Committee held them in contempt 6-7 months ago, and I've been quietly calling my congressman and calling Nancy Pelosi's office and saying, when are you going to act on contempt? When are you going to act? John Conyers, I spoke with him. He was pleading with everyone, when are we going to act? Well, they acted today. At the same time as George Bush and the Republicans are crying, you got to stop the terrorists! You got to stop the terrorists! The Democrats voted to hold Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton in contempt. What that means is they are finally taking a step to say, if you don't give us the congressional oversight that we have a right to, that we demand to, if we issue a subpoena and you turn up your nose and say no, well, we're going to have to put you in prison. Now, there's more to it than that. There are some stages to go. The Bush administration is not going to allow a U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. to do this. We may have to go to inherent contempt. I will explain it all this hour, but just know that for once, the Democratic Party did the right thing. It's so nice finally to praise them. I have to tell you, many Democrats in the Senate did the wrong thing. Senator Rockefeller of West Virginia leads the charge for perhaps the worst of all the Democrats with this telecom immunity bill. And my senator, Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, followed him off the cliff. In fact, I've been having a little battle with my own senator and their office. I'll tell you about that, too, this hour. But the House stood firm. Now, whether they'll keep standing firm and not cave in later, who knows? The Democrats have been known to cave in. But at this moment, at this time, it's amazing they're actually doing the right thing. Now, it tells you how far we've gone in America when I get this excited about Congress insisting it has the right to pass legislation, that I get this excited about the Constitution being upheld. You know, normally you'd think that since everyone takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, this would be just a normal thing, just another day in Washington. It shows you the depth of how far we have sunk under the Republican rule, that finally, the first time Congress upholds the Constitution, whether it's the Fourth Amendment and illegal wireless wiretapping, whether it's illegal withholding documents from Congress, whether it's torture, finally, that Congress is acting and upholding the Constitution. It's a day for celebration. And the Republicans were so mad, so angry at the House of Representatives for saying, hey, we have a right to find out these documents, that they walked out. Oh, it was beautiful. Just watching them descend the steps, all upset. Oh, the Democrats, they're not protecting us from the evil terrorist threat. They're insisting that George Bush obey the Constitution. What ninnies, they were saying. What ninnies, the Democrats, putting the Constitution over safety. Didn't they read George Orwell? It's so nice to give good news once in a while. It really is. And it may not last, and I'll give you all the details and tell you exactly all the intricacies, because there's a lot of details here that you need to know about. But just know overall it was a good day. The Republicans did everything they could to disrupt it. Tom Lantos, you may know, the only Holocaust survivor in Congress, a congressman of, I think, about 30 years from California. He died just recently, and they were holding a memorial service for him. And in the middle of the memorial service, the Republicans jumped up, ran into the House, and tried to basically conduct some business. They disrupted this man's memorial service, a Holocaust survivor, for political reasons. But you know what? It couldn't mar the day. It couldn't, because what it just showed is how desperate they are for power, how desperate they are to stomp on the Constitution. And like I said, the Democrats would have none of it. They weren't going to play any of these games. I got to tell you, I was concerned. I admit it. When my senator, Jim Webb of Virginia, voted with Senator Rockefeller's bill, which basically overturns the Constitution, specifically what it does is it retroactively legalizes all of George Bush's illegal surveillance that he's done throughout his presidency, and does so without even knowing what he's done, without even telling us exactly who he spied on or why. I was pretty upset. And indeed, I've had a huge fight with some of the people in the Web office. You can read about it on the blog, RaisingCain.com. I'll be posting it on some other blogs tomorrow. But I knew that it was up to the House alone, to save us. I talked with some of my colleagues there. My congressman decided to stand firm. And then, to my surprise, I have to admit, Nancy Pelosi stood firm today. And it was great watching her before the microphones that they had for her. George Bush had just done a press conference where he said, you know, I don't know that people really care about terror. I don't know that people even know there's an enemy out there. Implying that Nancy Pelosi had no idea that there were people out to harm Americans, that that's what the issue was. Of course, that wasn't the issue at all. The issue was and has always been, do we believe in the rule of law? Do we live in a dictatorship? Does the president have to follow the law? And for once, the Democrats stood up to him. And I was just as surprised as any of you. But I think they're getting it. I hope they're getting it. I think they're finally realizing that, hey, caving in has its cost, that they were not elected to say, yes, sir, Mr. President, to a very unpopular president, a president that has no respect for the rule of law or the Constitution. So I'm going to go through with you and give you all the details of all this wondrous acts today. If you have any questions about any of it, and some of it's quite complicated, please don't hesitate to call in. All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial. You know the number. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billysheersmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
The Appalachian Mountains are being blown up so we can keep the lights on. Over half of U.S. electricity comes from coal, and mountaintop removal coal mining has destroyed over 470 of our mountains so far and buried over 1,000 miles of streams. If we don't stop the coal companies, there won't be anything left because coal is the biggest contributor to global warming. But we are fighting back, and this March we will converge for Mountain Justice spring breaks in two heavily coal-affected states. For more info, you can visit mjsb.org, mjsb.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Mark is a happy camper today. Why am I in such a good mood? Well, today, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2008, may one day be remembered as the day the Democrats found their spine. The day the Democrats said, you know what? We matter. We have a constitutional role. We can make laws. That's right. And under the Constitution, we have some power, too. In fact, we're under Article 1. Let me give you the details, because so many things have happened today that it's just glorious. One is the ban on torture. Now, John McCain supposedly tried to stop this nation from torturing people. What he did is he had a bill that he sponsored that would have prohibited torture. And he got it through. George Bush threatened to veto it, but when 90 senators were behind it, that's a bipartisan bill, my friends. When 90 senators were behind it, well, Bush saw that he couldn't veto it. So he signed it, and then came a signing statement, which said, oh, yeah, this bill prohibits torture, but we don't define torture as anything that we want to do. I know I said that fast. So did he. We don't define torture as anything we want to do. In other words, if the president does it, ipso facto, it's not torture. For example, my law school colleague, John Yoo, who knew that I would be sharing classrooms with Satan? John Yoo, my law school classmate, famously wrote a memo that said that it's not torture unless somebody dies or they undergo organ failure. Now, in my view, if someone dies, it's not torture. If they die, they're dead. It's called murder. Murder is not torture. Murder is murder. So I don't think death is torture. And then organ failure, I want you to think about all the ways in which John Yoo, deputy legal director to the president, said that we can torture people. Bamboo shoots under the fingernails. Well, fingernails, that's not an organ. That's okay. How about the rack, where we stretch someone until all their bones break? Well, bones aren't organs. I guess that's fine. How about shocks to the genitalia area? Loading up the old testicles for a good blowout. Well, I guess as long as you don't destroy them, not an organ. I mean, not just to shock them. How about freezing temperatures or denying anyone sleep for days on end? How about, sorry to use this, but how about some of the Nazi experiments? Well, as long as they don't lead to organ failure, the administration said it's not torture. As ELO points out in the chat room, probably John McCain wasn't tortured either under this logic, under this definition. So McCain passes a bill during the Republican Congress saying he's all out against torture, and then the Bush administration defines it in a signing statement saying, well, it all depends on what the definition of torture is. A tortured definition, if ever there were one. And for the Republicans who got so excited about the way Bill Clinton defined is, let me remind you how he defined is, because people don't even remember when he says, depends on what the definition of is. He was asked if he is having an affair with Monica Lewinsky. And he wasn't having an affair. He had had an affair. He was having an affair, but he isn't at the time. In other words, in the present time, is he having an affair? No, he is not. He was having an affair. That's what Bill Clinton did with the torture definition of the word is. It wasn't really a torture definition. Is means the present tense. But Republicans raked him over the coals, saying, oh, listen to this crazy legalism. That's ridiculous. Well, now we come to a legalism that doesn't have to do with whether a man is having an affair. We deal with a legalism over whether or not the United States is or is not a civilized nation, on what the definition of torture is, on whether or not people can be brutally treated, cruelly treated, inhumanely treated, and the extent of it. Now, John McCain was originally against torture, right? Well, I guess he was. But in that bill, George Bush defined it in his signing statement to be meaningless. So the Democrats, after they came into power, knowing how to write legislation a little bit better than John McCain, said, we're going to give you definitions. The Army Intelligence Manual gives 19 legal, non-torturous definitions of how to interrogate someone. You can do this, you can do that. You can play good cop, bad cop. You can threaten to take privileges away. But you can't strap electrodes on the genitalia. You can't do water torture. They now call it waterboarding. The old name, of course, for it is water torture, and I think it's a much better name for it. So the CIA, the bill says, has to undergo the same restrictions against torture that the Army does. Seems pretty simple, right? I mean, if you're against torture, you would be in favor of restricting the CIA to the 19 approved methods of interrogation. And this bill, unlike McCain's bill, has no leeway, has no wiggle room. The president can't say, oh, and I also agree with these 12 other techniques. No, it says you cannot use any techniques outside of these 19. It doesn't say you can't torture, which, as we all know, given a crafty Yale Law School lawyer, can be struggled to mean anything. Heck, you know, some would say it's torture trying to listen to George Bush give a speech. So here it is, this certain law that clearly bans torture. And what happens? How's the vote? John McCain votes against it. You see, my friends, John McCain was against torture, but now he's for torture. He had flip-flopped on torture. Maybe someone tortured him and forced him to be for torture. I don't know, but he can't explain. He can't explain why he was against it before he was for it. John McCain, a person who himself was tortured, is now supporting torture. This will be a general election question. Let nobody let John McCain get away with this. And although there are many techniques outside of the approved 19, and remember, the president and McCain say anything's okay, right? Bamboo shoots under the fingernails, well, that's okay, I guess. Because their rule is if you don't say it's not okay, it's okay. But the main focus is on water torture, which they call waterboarding, because they don't like the term torture. And part of the problem is, I want to be clear, while I am absolutely certain that water torture is torture, I don't want to focus entirely on that, because the Democratic bill goes much farther. It bans all levels of torture at every level. It says you can only use the 19 procedures in the Army Field Manual. And so I don't want to overstate this, because apparently relatively few people have been water tortured or waterboarded. And so I don't want to make you think that this is a limited bill. It actually bans any torture. But let's talk about waterboarding, since it's gotten a lot of press. In 1898, during the Spanish-American War, American servicemen tortured Spanish servicemen using water torture. You know, holding their heads underwater, making them almost drown. This is a technique that's been around since the Spanish Inquisition. In fact, we could proudly say that George Bush has copied a technique from the Spanish Inquisition. It's amazing that Torquemada and George Bush had so much in common. But it's been around since the Spanish Inquisition. When our troops did it more than a century ago, they were court-martialed for it. They were punished. Because even in 1898, it was known that for centuries, this was a technique considered torture under international law. Fast forward 50 years later, World War II. Japanese servicemen use waterboarding against American servicemen. They use water torture. 8 Japanese servicemen torture American servicemen in this exact manner. Now, maybe they were trying to prevent a nuclear attack. George Bush argues that sometimes water torture is necessary. He calls it waterboarding. That waterboarding, he says, is sometimes necessary to prevent a massive terrorist attack. What do you think these Japanese soldiers were doing? They were water torturing Americans. Maybe if they'd succeeded, they would have prevented a nuclear explosion over Hiroshima or Nagasaki. They killed hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians. Wouldn't that be, above all, a justified reason to use torture? I'm not saying so. George Bush is saying so. After all, that's his excuse. So what happened to these 8 Japanese servicemen? They were brought before war crimes tribunals. They were convicted of torture. And all 8 of them were executed. If you want to know this nation's and all other nations' policy on water torture, just go back to our prior wars. You don't have to go back to the Spanish Inquisition. We did it in 1898 and our servicemen were court-martialed. The Japanese did it in World War II and we executed them. And now John McCain supports it. John McCain supports a form of torture that was considered so severe that we executed 8 Japanese men for doing it. So why is it a good day? It's a good day because the Democrats pushed him to that test. It's a good day because the Democrats forced that bill through the Senate. I have lots of problems with the Senate. I'm going to get to that when I talk about the telecom immunity bill. I'm really unhappy with the Senate on that one. I'm just proud of the House Democrats. We'll get to that. But on the torture bill, it passed the House many, many months ago. The Senate took it up. They passed it 51-45. They forced John McCain to vote the wrong way. Now, will this bill become law? No. No, it won't become law. It won't become law. George Bush is going to veto this bill. But when he does, going into the presidential campaign in November 2008, we will know the difference between the parties. The Democrats are the party of international law. They're the party that doesn't torture. The party that respects the 8th Amendment to the Constitution, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. The Republicans are the party of war crimes. George Bush, John McCain are the party of the people that did what the Japanese did, what our servicemen did, what Torquemada did in the Spanish Inquisition. And I just happen to think that for all the American people get scared by George Bush saying, the sky is falling, the terrorists are coming, they're going to recognize that if we believe in anything in America, we don't believe in torture. So it was a great day. Even though Bush is going to veto the bill, we'll get it through with President Obama. Heck, we'll even get it through with President Hillary Clinton. But mostly, we've exposed John McCain for the fraud that he is. Some straight talker he. I have more to talk about. I'm going to talk about contempt and also about the telecom immunity bill. A good day here in Washington, D.C. So good that the Republicans had to walk out. And all of that's coming up. Just dial 877-4-HEAD-ON if you got a question about anything I'm talking about. 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake.
Across Appalachia, children pray at night. Coal companies are destroying Appalachia with 3 million pounds of high explosives per day. Take a stand. Go to CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch. Be part of the solution so you and they can sleep at night. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net.
The trains are rolling by and I can feel the ground rumbling.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. John McCain's got this great reputation as Mr. Rectitude, but he's losing it quickly. Case in point, his flip-flop on torture. McCain stood up to Bush a while back when he sponsored legislation prohibiting torture. That bill passed by a huge margin and Bush signed it, but then Bush added a signing statement saying he didn't force it, only if he felt like it. This week, the Senate took up the issue of waterboarding and Dianne Feinstein introduced a bill banning it. The bill passed by a margin of 51-45, but it's unlikely to become law since Bush has vowed to veto it. That's not the surprising thing, though. What's surprising is that McCain voted against the bill. Now, John McCain, this war hero who withstood torture in Vietnam, the man who denounced torture over the past 6 years, the man who authored legislation prohibiting torture, this man is now for waterboarding? He's throwing away his reputation into the same dumpster that George W. Bush has tossed America's reputation. And it won't help McCain win the presidency. It'll only reinforce Obama's message about the need to break from the policies of Bush-McCain. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. What's often not mentioned on the torture bill is, heck, there were Republicans that voted for it, too. It wasn't just Democrats. But what's interesting is that, you know, the administration, when they talk about a bipartisan bill, they seem to only want the bipartisan bills that they want. The case in point, of course, is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. But I should let you know, Susan Collins of Maine voted for it, Richard Lugar of Indiana, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, that there were Olympia Snow, that Gordon Smith, there are 5 Republicans, actually, that voted for it, and every single person who voted against it, every single one of them was a Republican, and also Joel Lieberman and Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Now, I have to say, Clinton and Obama, neither one of them were there. They should have been there. Both of them should have made a vote on this bill. Luckily, we didn't need them. It's hard. I know they're campaigning, but they should have voted on this bill against torture. Let me move on, because there's 2 other very important topics today. One is contempt. The other is the telecom immunity bill. Which to go first? Well, let me explain the telecom immunity bill. It's a little bit complex. But I think you need to know the details. And then on next week, I'm going to be doing an entire show on it, so you will get even more detail then. But the heart of it is this. Since 1978, we've had a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that basically protects Americans from being spied on a bit. You know what? This is going to be a long explanation, and I'm going to be happy to give it to you, but I want to go to Juanita from Florida since she's on the line before I get started in some 10-minute explanation. Oh, we lost her. Well, then I'm getting back to my explanation.
Hello?
Juanita, oh, there you
are.
Are
you there?
Hey, I'm good. Yes, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Do you hear me?
I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now, I just wanted to tell you that a few months ago on C-SPAN, I saw four or five of the gentlemen that were with McCain when he was imprisoned in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they were mocking the... So they didn't believe that the torture that we thought was torture was torture. And I don't remember if they said it about the one in Iraq or not, but they definitely were talking about down in Cuba. And
well, wait, were they saying
in the eyes of the beholder, maybe McCain doesn't think that that's torture.
Well, are you talking about what McCain himself personally underwent, or are you talking about what we're doing now?
Well, I'm talking about those people that were in prison with him.
So you're talking about
they
didn't think they were tortured, or John McCain
they
was tortured.
They thought they were, but they said like the stress positions and the different things. They said those people don't know what torture is.
Oh, so they said they were tortured in Vietnam, but what we're doing right now isn't
what
torture.
We're supposed to be doing now is not torture.
Well, let me suggest to you that they don't know what we're doing now. We don't know what we're doing now. The Bush administration won't tell us what they're doing now. They've just now admitted this week to doing the water torture.
Yeah. I just can't help but believe that the people in charge, if they were put like that, I mean, I think they would call it torture. I know I would.
Well, Attorney General Michael Mukasey appeared before the House Judiciary Committee this week.
Yeah.
And he was asked whether if he were waterboarded, he would consider it torture. And he said, yeah, well, if you waterboard me, of course I'd think it's torture. I'd feel it was torture. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not an Afghani. It's okay to torture others, you see. It's just not okay to torture us.
Well,
but what's interesting,
like Rumsfeld, you know, he said, I work standing all day. He said, you can stand all day.
Torture.
That's not torture. Well, for some people it is.
Well, if you're forced in a standing position for weeks on end,
uh-huh.
I'm sure that is torture. I'm sure it is.
So too. That's
you know, if you don't get so much chance to sit down or lie down, yes, it is. Look, they have been minimizing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
People have been held in freezing temperatures, and they say, what? So we don't have the thermostat high enough? Well, there's a difference between 68 and 65. And hypothermia.
Right.
There's a difference. And so they've been minimizing all of this. I don't know what you saw on C-SPAN, but I can tell you this. None of us know unless we have a security clearance.
Well, I think there was war and all like that. I don't know. I guess that was their mindset, you know.
No, but here's the thing. None of us know unless we work in this administration or we were at Abu Ghraib or we work for the CIA. None of us know exactly what the administration is doing. All I know is that the administration has finally admitted, after years of denying it, that they did engage in water torture, waterboarding, this technique. And they admitted that last week.
Well,
and
that little English girl, she couldn't have... where did she get that big old leash, dog leash for that man?
Well, right.
You know.
Well, right.
And, you know, I mean, if that's...
Linda England. Linda England was her name, from West Virginia.
Yeah.
The thing is that we don't know, Juanita, exactly the scope of what this administration has done with regard to torture. John Yoo, my law school classmate, not a friend of mine, to be clear, just someone I sat in a classroom with. He's the one who wrote the memo that basically justified anything.
Yeah.
You just can't destroy an organ.
I thought about what you were talking about, pulling the fingernails out. That wouldn't be
you could cut off an arm. You could cut off someone's arms and legs. There are no organs in the arm or the legs. You could make someone a paraplegic, and it wouldn't be torture, according to John Yoo.
Yeah. And
I myself would consider it torture.
The problem is, though, many people believe it, you know, and a lot of the children are believing it.
Well, I'll tell you this.
They'll soon have non-torture clubs.
I'll tell you, I'd love to have you send me, Juanita, or post on my blog or post on the Horn. My email, by the way, is mark@radioinsidescoop.com. But I'd love to have you send me what you got on C-SPAN, because I assure you that these men with John McCain...
Like I said, it's been a few months back. And,
all right, well, I'll take a look for it. I assure you they don't know what we've done.
I'll look for it, too.
Because we don't know what we've done. And that's why the Democrats took a major step forward today. And you know what they're going to say? Democrats don't want to fight terrorists. They don't want to fight terrorists. The president said today.
That's what they're already saying it.
Yeah, the president said it today. He said some people don't realize there's a threat in the world.
Uh-huh.
The president would have us believe.
We're so dumb. We don't know nothing, do we?
Right. The president would have us believe that if we don't act like the Soviet Union, if we don't act like East Germany, if we don't spy on all our citizens, torture people who to trying to get information, that if we don't insist that the head of the government is beyond oversight by Congress, that the boogeyman's going to get us. The boogeyman, he's sitting right there, and he's saying, you're not torturing, I'm going to get you. You're not spying on innocent American citizens, I'm going to get you. You're insisting on oversight for the president, I'm going to get you. And the Democrats today, and it's a roller coaster ride. They may not do this tomorrow, so I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Me too.
Because they may cave tomorrow. But today...
Yeah, we've been let down so many times.
We have. But today we hit a triple.
Right.
Heck, it's a home run, all right? We got the first base by the torture bill. We got the second base by Nancy Pelosi standing firm on telecom immunity. I'm going to talk about that. We got the third base on contempt. I'm going to talk about that. And you know what the home run was? That the Republicans were so upset that they petulantly walked out of Congress.
Yeah.
And they even disrupted a really good man's memorial service. It just shows you what little children they are.
Nancy Pelosi's fault. Did you see that?
Well, of course they're going to claim it's her
that
fault.
One Cuban from representative from Miami, he got up on the floor and said, "How dare she do that?" I was in the middle of his memorial, and I had to come out and come because she called the Congress to order. And
well, she didn't call it to order in the middle of the memorial service. It was he who tried to interrupt there. But anyway, I want to thank you for your call, Juanita. It's a good day, and just it's nice for once to praise our party for doing the right thing.
Too.
We're always condemning them for doing the wrong thing, and I don't mind doing that. We have to do that. But
and
for
maybe
once,
the last.
But
maybe
you know,
and
maybe they're listening to our criticism. Who knows? Thanks for your call, Juanita. I appreciate
it. Bye bye.
Let me go over the other events of today, and we'll go over more into it next week because there are a lot of details here. One thing I want to talk about is what's going on with the Surveillance Act because, again, I'll explain it in more detail next week, but here's the heart of it. Before 1978, the president often spied at will on innocent American citizens. You probably know that Martin Luther King was spied on by J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI. Hoover kept trying to prove that King was a communist. Now, King wasn't a communist. He simply believed that blacks should have equal rights in America. Radical though that was, he was simply not a communist. He was not in the employ of the Soviet Union. He wasn't a spy. But Hoover kept trying to prove that. So he taped Martin Luther King wherever he went and found out that Martin Luther King, though a terrific American hero, did, because nobody's perfect, did have an affair. And he was able to document that affair through this illegal spying because he had no probable cause to believe that King had done anything wrong. He didn't have a warrant. But through that, he was able to use that to try to embarrass King. Well, in 1978, one of the last times we had a Democratic Congress and Democratic president, Congress passed the law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And what that law does, and again, I'll give you more details next week, but in essence what it does is it put surveillance under the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, says that if you want to spy on someone, you got to have a warrant. We have the right to be secure in our persons, papers, and effects against all unreasonable searches and seizures. That includes our communications, our papers, and our effects, unless the government has probable cause to think we've done something wrong. If they think we've committed a crime, or they think we're a terrorist, The government goes, shows that probable cause to a court, which is a very low standard, by the way, and they get a warrant, and they can spy on us. And I have no problem with that. And Democrats don't have any problem with that. And people who respect the Constitution don't have any problem with that. You got someone who's a bad guy, spy on him. I'm all for it. But they got to be a bad guy. And you got to show a court, an independent body, not just the administration thinking they're a bad guy. Right? Nixon thought the Democrats were a bad guy. That's why he wanted to spy on their papers in the Watergate Hotel. But he didn't have a warrant, now did he? And he couldn't have gotten one from just about any court. So that protects our privacy. So this law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, there's some details about it, but the heart of it is that you go to a secret court. It's not even a public court, a secret court. Because in matters of national security, sometimes you have to keep this stuff secret, and they can then approve the warrant. And frankly, you could even get retroactive approval if you need it. You can go in, start taping someone, and then 3 days later get that approval. Well, George Bush didn't think it was enough. George Bush started to go outside the court. From the time he was in office, from September 11th up through January 07, George Bush secretly was spying, who knows to what extent. Many believe on hundreds of millions of us. At least that seems to be what the New York Times article that exposed it in December 05 was implying. But we still don't know the extent to which George Bush blatantly violated the Constitution. So people started to sue. And they started to sue the telecommunications providers that were illegally giving this to the government. Now, this was... It wasn't about Verizon trying to find out Sprint's competitor. I'm not a big fan of big telecommunications companies. But they weren't spying on Americans to achieve their own ends. They were doing it because the president asked them to do it. In fact, Quest... I got to give credit to Quest. Quest said no. Quest said, sure, Mr. President, we'll be happy to help you out. Where's your warrant? And Bush said, I don't have a warrant. You do it anyway. And the chairman of Quest said, Mr. President, when you get a warrant, I'll be happy to do that for you. They never came back. What this bill is about, and again, I'm devoting all of next Monday's show to it, so we'll give you all the details then. But what this bill is about, with telecommunications immunity, is it's a way to protect the President of the United States, to give him immunity to search whoever he wants. Because the companies, heck, if you sue them, if you sue the government, there's sovereign immunity, there's the State Secrets Act, there's all these legal provisions that protect the government. The only way to get at the government is to sue the telecommunications company. And I have no problem if the government wants to indemnify them. If the government says, hey, if you broke the Constitution, big telecom company, I'll pay for it. That's okay with me. It's the only way to get to the government. But George Bush knows he broke the law. He knows he violated the Constitution. He knows that's an impeachable offense. So he wants to retroactively make legal his constitutional violations. And the Senate, to its discredit, voted to allow him to do it just 2 days ago. Senator Rockefeller of West Virginia was the worst one. It was his intelligence committee that let it go out. The House, the Senate Judiciary Committee gave a very good bill. Senator Dodd threatened to filibuster it, and about 13 Democrats, actually maybe closer to 18, voted the wrong way. And that includes Rockefeller, includes my senator, Senator Webb, includes Senator Feinstein, who seems to always vote the wrong way. Of course, it included Lieberman, it included all the Republicans. But 31 Democrats voted the correct way with Senator Dodd. So then it went to the House. Would the House stand firm? The House has a very good bill. It updates a few tools. Again, I'll give you more details next week. But it's a very good bill. And I don't know. I was just so sure the House would cave, like they've caved on everything else. And George Bush wouldn't extend the time. Again, there's some complexities I'll describe next week. But he said that the old law would expire and the terrorists would attack and we'd all be in trouble. And Nancy Pelosi, it was wonderful watching her today. She said, we'll be okay. We got the old FISA law. It'll do. It'll do during the 21 days we need to come up with something. And I sure hope at the end of the day it's no telecom immunity. Let me go to Michelle from Southern California. Michelle, good to hear from you. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, you know, I just had to call on Valentine's Day.
Well, does that mean you love me?
Well, of course I do. I love our conversation.
Oh, good, good. Happy Valentine's Day, Michelle.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Mark.
I'm loving the Democratic Congress today.
I have to disagree with you.
Okay, on what?
Nancy Pelosi stood down there on the floor and stood up against the president because she got thousands upon thousands of letters. They all got letters telling these people, get your heads out of your butt, quit acting like you're victims, and do the right thing.
Well, I'm not at all taking away from our victory or your victory, Michelle. I'm one of those who sent one of those letters. I'm one of those who called my congressman yesterday to make sure that he would stand firm. And I am not at all taking away from your efforts, from my efforts, from people on the Head On Radio Network. All of us together made this happen.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I just, you know, Mark, I think sometimes people, they get a little bit too distant from their home. And I see that. I see that in our representatives. And I think it's, you know, hey, we're all survival of the fittest. I mean, that's what we are. We're human beings. And, you know, we want to survive. But in so doing, sometimes we allow things to pass us by. And I was chewing on my nails yesterday. And, you know, I'm not at home at the time you're on, so I don't get to listen to you. So I called yesterday, because before I left, you were in the chat room, and I called yesterday, and Bob's like, oh, no, Michelle, it's pre-recorded. Call tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're live today.
You're live today, thank God. But I listened to you after John Fox. I listened to you after Fox, and I get to listen to your show then.
I should let the Horn people know that Michelle's been with me a long time. She's been watching the Inside Scoop, I guess, when I was on KLSD in San Diego. Is that when you started,
right,
or even before then? That's when you started.
Before then, I just got.
Yeah, it was before
internet,
then.
And then they took you on.
Right.
On, San Diego for a little.
So you're one of my longest time listeners.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this: you live in Southern California, right?
Well, are you going to come out and visit?
Well, no, I'm going to be on KGIL tonight at 4 o'clock your time, 4:20 your time on Leslie Marshall's show. So those of you that live in Southern California, you can listen to me live again. Listen, turn on your radio at 4 o'clock tonight.
Mark, whose show?
Leslie Marshall's show. Isn't she on a KGIL?
And what channel is she on?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. She may not be on in L.A. tonight. I'm sorry. I just did a promo for myself. She's on in Buffalo and in Tucson. No, Michael Jackson is the... I'm sorry. I was on the Michael Jackson show, too, Rachel. I'm trying to get in there in L.A. I'm doing my best.
We're working on KOSD, and San Diego got all... Well, you know, we lost San Diego, right?
I know. What's the problem with Liberal Talk Radio? Hey, keep working and helping me out. Keep listening to the show, all right, Michelle?
Yeah, and you quit being a tease and get your butt out here. I love you.
Well, if they carry my radio show, I might do that. You tell them that, all right? Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, kiddo. Take care.
So, sorry about that little personal business there, but I am going to be on another. I am slowly starting to get more on radio shows. People are realizing that there's a lot going on in Washington that most talk radio hosts don't understand. And I've been talking all day long today with my friends in Congress on the Hill. There's this elation that's going on. Democrats are finally, like I said, they're finding their spine. They are like, hey, they're standing a little taller, a little straighter. They're saying to themselves, hey, you know what? You know what? We are in charge here. It was beautiful. I mean, here it was that, and I'll give some more of the details next week. There's just not time to do it now. But here it was. The Republicans were saying, if you don't do it exactly the way we want it, in other words, give George Bush retroactive immunity for all his violations of the Constitution, for all his illegal wireless, warrantless wiretapping, if you don't give him retroactive immunity for all his violations of the Constitution, the terrorists are going to get you. The terrorists are going to get you. George Bush gave a press conference today, said if this law is allowed to expire, and it expires Sunday, my friends, and we don't renew it, And we don't do it giving me retroactive immunity. Of course, he didn't use those words. He just said, if we don't do it, then the terrorists, we just won't be able to protect America from them. And some Americans just don't realize that there really are terrorists out there. And they asked Nancy Pelosi that, and she kind of blinked and said, we'll be okay. We care about terrorism. We want to stop the bad guys. But there's a law already that's in effect. It's called FISA, and it works, and it's not that bad, and we can improve it around the edges. But we're not going to fall for this. This is a self-imposed deadline. The president is making this stuff and refusing to negotiate. Well, we're just going to go on vacation. She wouldn't bite. And here's the best part, the third part of the troika today. While Republicans were saying, you've got to pass this legislation or the boogeyman's going to get you. By the way, all this does, if the thing expires, it brings us back to where we were in 07. Between January and August 07, we didn't have this law. The Democrats were doing something even more important, I think. Even more important than banning torture. Even more important than standing firm on warrantless surveillance. They were asserting their rights under Article 1 of the Constitution. Today, former Supreme Court nominee, current White House counsel Harriet Myers, and Chief of Staff Josh Bolten were both held in contempt. What does that mean? It means that the Democrats, a year ago, when they first came into power, sent them a subpoena. What's a subpoena? It is a legal demand for documents. It's not a letter. Oh, I guess it can be in letter form. But it's not, dear Harriet Myers, would you kindly turn over your documents? It's a demand. It has the force of law. The Democrats wanted to find out how the Bush administration was using the Justice Department for political ends in the prosecutor scandal. Harriet Myers said, F you. I won't use the four-letter word. That's what she said. She said, I don't have to obey you. You're just Article 1. You're just a branch of the government. I don't have to obey you. And for 7 months, the Democrats did nothing. The House Judiciary Committee held them in contempt, but it has to go through the entire House. Well, today, while the Republicans were saying, stop the terrorists, the Democrats stood firm. What was on the agenda at 1 p.m., and they held Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten in contempt. And that means that finally the Bush administration will be held accountable. Now, there are a few more details, namely that the Bush administration has said, we won't allow the local U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, we won't allow him to follow the law, we won't allow him to go and hold these people in contempt, to bring them into jail. And maybe the Congress has to go to the inherent power of contempt, which hasn't been used since the 1930s. That's okay. That's okay. I think all they have to do is grab Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten, the sergeant at arms, and stick them in an office for an hour and say, you're our prisoner until you turn over the documents. Can you imagine what wonderful press that would be? Can you imagine the TV cameras in the room? Can you imagine if the sergeant-at-arms goes to the White House and says, turn them over, and the Secret Service and the White House police don't know who to respond to because it's a valid order of Congress? Think about what that is. It is Congress asserting itself. It's just the beginning, my friends. I realize that. But finally, Congress is saying, we run this country too. They issued 1,000 subpoenas to the Clinton administration over stupid things like the White House travel office. This is about whether or not the Justice Department is acting as a political wing of the government. This is important. You will respond. The Democrats got spying today. That's all for the Inside Scoop. We've got some reruns tonight. Poor Bob Kincaid has the flu. We wish him well and hope he gets better soon. And there's a lot more details on this. I'll give them all to you next week. For now, this is Mark Levine, signing off.